Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Drawing electrical power from the world's highest tides in the Bay of Fundy has been a dream and ongoing engineering pursuit for decades. Canada is a world leader in marine renewable energy opportunities, and Nova Scotia could be about to benefit from years of research. Six international tidal energy developers have invested in projects in the Bay of Fundy, and more than 125 local businesses are engaged in various aspects of tidal power developments. There's also been a lot of public funding invested in this field over the years. Dana Morin is chair of Marine Renewables of Canada, this country's leading wave, tidal, and hydrokinetic association representing technology and project developers. He's also the founder of Fundy Tidal Incorporated, a community-based project developer in Digby County. Welcome to Encore, Dana.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, the development of Fundy tidal power has been researched for many decades, and many designs have been proposed for that very challenging environment. How close are we to actually drawing power from the tides and putting that into the grid?
Well, it's good timing for the question here in Nova Scotia as we are planning a deployment in May of this year, so only a few months away. You might say that after 10 years, that's an overnight success, but 10 years getting to this point. Should point out some of these machines are operating in other places in the world, in France and the UK, so they're actually grid connected and producing energy, and now it's our turn to deploy them here.
So the machines are used elsewhere, but what about the actual conditions of the Bay of Fundy compared to those other places?
We definitely, I believe, have the most extreme place to try to do this with the currents that we have in the upper Bay of Fundy, close to Parsborough area. And the engineers have been hard at work to design systems and mooring and anchorings and such that would get the job done. Now the proof's in the pudding next month and over the next year as the other companies deploy as well.
Now, what's the range of long-term prospects in terms of supplying electrical demands? The high end, the low end?
The minimum is 25 megawatts of power that has the province of Nova Scotia has issued feed-in tariffs for, so a way to sell the power to Nova Scotia Power. After the 25, which we hope to have done by 2020.
Just 4 years from now.
Yes. So the province has put forth legislation that enables up to 300 megawatts over time, probably over the next 10 years.
Now, what does the role of those feed-in tariffs play?
They're essential in the electricity business, especially when you begin a new technology. Without a contract to sell your goods, you don't have a business and therefore can't raise the investment required to get there. So the province, in its wisdom, I guess, has created two sets of feed-in tariffs that are unique in the world. And without those, we wouldn't see these projects going forward and the investment putting in.
How so? Are they unique?
There are no feed-in tariffs globally. There are other mechanisms, as we call them, market drivers, to provide a payment to the companies doing this. In Nova Scotia, we have something called a community feed-in tariff program, and it's not just tidal, but wind and other sources. It's been very successful. My particular company that I'm involved with, Fundy Tidal, we have the ComFit projects for tidal, so they're community-owned, community-based, and there's no other type of tariff that hardwires that the community has to benefit. So that's unique. And the other 20 megawatts at near Parsborough at Force, the location, are also pretty much the only ones in the world.
And how does that help you get this energy from the tides into the grid, the feed-in tariff? I mean, what's the incentive here? What does it help you cover in terms of cost?
The primary thing is financing the project. So to be able to tell your investors or the bank that I have a guaranteed rate that I will be paid, my projections are I will produce this much, therefore, based on that information, will you take the risk to put your money in? So at least it allows you to, have a guaranteed rate for, in my case, 20 years. The projects in force are 15 years long, and that has some return on investment to those investors.
And how is the power going to be distributed from tidal energy projects?
You've got two locations, and for your listeners that aren't from the Bay of Fundy area, the Upper Bay near Parsborough is where the, I would say, the juggernaut of projects are. It's where the strongest currents are, but it also has a transmission line, so a large power cable that's capable of putting that power onto the grid. Down in the outer Bay of Fundy, down at the extremes, at the mouth of the bay, near Digby, Briar Island, that area, you're on the distribution grid, which is the electrical system that feeds our local communities. And you can only produce as much, really, as the community is using. You can't get it onto a transmission line and, as we say, send the power to Halifax or to other users. So you have a much limited amount of power that we can produce. So to simplify things, we sell the power to Nova Scotia Power. It goes onto the grid and everything is the same to the consumer. They get their power daily as they normally do.
Now, as we mentioned, there are several different designs of tidal power energy generators out there in the Bay of Fundy. What's the range in their ability to generate power?
Well, I'll use a wind turbine metaphor, but that might be more familiar. We usually talk in megawatts, so a 1 megawatt turbine or a 2 megawatt. They're very, very large turbines that we see, again, in wind around Nova Scotia.
Say around the border near Amherst, that
certainly,
scale?
And mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so the equivalent of output going into the water. So a lot of the devices of the larger companies are 1 megawatt and some of them are 2 megawatts in size. So they're large machines capable of producing. For community projects, we have to use machines that are 0.5 megawatt or less under our regulations. So we tend to need more of them and a different class of machine.
Now, the Nova Scotia firms engaged in Bay of Fundy projects are hoping to reap benefits. Are any of them profitable now?
I think what we're seeing is existing companies that are on our landscape. I'll mention maybe AECON in Pictou, who received, don't quote me, I think it's around a $25 million contract to work with a company called Open Hydro. So they've been one of the primary commercial contracts awarded. There's folks in Chester that have received work as well for their expertise. So we're finding that originally we thought most of the work would go to Digby, that's what we hoped, in Halifax. But actually the project developers are finding the best companies with the best rate and service all around the province. So it wasn't what we originally expected. So I think those companies are just adding to their existing ways of making money, and they hope, I think it's more the 300 megawatts. It's that long term that we start to see a lot more production. I think there's at least 120, 25 people working in Pictou on that one company's project, so it's fairly significant.
And that would be for 2030?
Yes, in that time frame. Of course, any developer would say 2020 as soon as possible. So we'll let that develop as it will. I'd like to point out it's not just the companies. I'm a community benefits background person, and I just saw an interesting email this morning from Scotland. Our friends from Digby Port are there, motivating that the port of Digby be the service supply center. And to quote the mayor, this is the largest opportunity that Digby has seen in many decades, the potential to be that service supply. And other benefactors, I think, have been our universities. We've been privileged to receive quite a bit of federal and provincial money for some of the key research. So that's Acadia, Dalhousie, University in New Brunswick, etc.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest on Encore is Dana Moran, Chair of Marine Renewables of Canada and co-chair of the Fundy Energy Research Network Socioeconomics Committee. He's also founder of Fundy Tidal Incorporated, a community-based project developer in Digby. Marine Renewables Canada, Dana, says that as a new industry, there is a lack of an established global supply chain. Specifically, what does that mean for the tidal energy systems we see out in the Bay of Fundy?
Since the industry is fairly new, and although there have been projects put in the water around the world, in order to do this at a large scale, you need a sophisticated and wide range, a team of people, different companies, and from beginning with the accountants and the lawyers and the bankers on up through your engineers and marine contractors, etc. So we have what I would call the base skills here in Nova Scotia, great companies. Also oceanography is a big part of this, and technology. That they are also wanting to add to what they currently do, or perhaps apply their skills. We have to remember, no one's done this, so all we, any of us, can do is apply our past experience and knowledge to a new sector.
How do the goals for reducing greenhouse gas emissions generating electricity mesh with marine renewable energy development?
Well, it's definitely considered a clean source of energy and a renewable resource. At our current scale, maybe 25 megawatts as we wrap up this, it's maybe 0.5% of the energy of the province's demand. We might reach 5% or more over time. So it's a significant contribution, but more so that it's not being based on imported coal, oil, or any other source, that it's coming from our tides.
So what about the period of time over which the investors might hope to recoup their investment?
Yes. I think under these power purchase agreements, these feed-in tariffs, there's a 15-year term for those at force. There's 20 years for the particular projects I'm involved in, and it's over the course of that period. So it's a long-term investment that it's expected to pay off.
When you look out at any of those sites in the Bay of Fundy now, what do you see? What do you think about when you look there?
I'm still scared. Sorry, it's a rule of thumb, especially with my wife. If it looks like you fall in and you're going to die, that's probably a good place to do tidal power. I'm still amazed at the forces I see when I'm, whether I'm down in Grand and Petite Passage or over at the Black Rock Force site. I'm just in awe of the power that's there, and I sometimes think we're all crazy. How will you possibly withstand the forces that are there? And a friend of mine always says, what was it, Apollo 13 made it to, there was 12 dead monkeys prior to that. There was a lot of attempts before we finally got to the moon. So I think this is a big step in that direction for the Bay of Fundy.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Dana Morin, Chair of Marine Renewables of Canada, this country's leading wave, tidal, and hydrokinetic association, representing technology and project developers. He's also the founder of Fundy Tidal Incorporated, a community-based project developer in Digby County. You've been listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. Each week at this time, BoomersWork.com brings you Encore. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring new and exciting developments of special interest to the ever-growing group of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.